Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Beis. We learn today Leila Nishmas Eliyahu Platt's father, Dov Ber Ben Meir Halevi. Eli's been a very long time member of the Shir. Mitzvah Hashem, the neshama of his father, should have Aliyah from our learning. We're in the middle of a discussion about some of the chronology of the leadership of both Klal Yisrael and of Bavel during the period of time between the Bayis Rishon's destruction, actually even before the Bayis Rishon's destruction, when Nebuchadnezzar came to power, and when the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, and those events in between. And yesterday we talked about how both Belshazzar and Ahasuerush made mistakes in counting the 70-year period that Yirmiyahu HaNavi had predicted would be between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Now, we learn today, we pick up on the Gemara, Yud Beis Amud Aleph, that even Daniel made a mistake. And we are in the second line, Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Amar Rava. He says, Av Daniel Tor B'hai Chushbina. Even Daniel made a mistake originally in calculating the 70-year period of time when you should calculate. We know the answer is from the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash to the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash was 70 years. But there were alternate periods of time that also came up to be 70 years that could have fulfilled this Nevuah. And even Daniel originally made a mistake. How do we know that he originally made a mistake? Because it says in Daniel, Bishnas Achas Lamolcho, Ani Daniel Binosi Basforim, in the first year of his reign. Whose reign is he talking about? This is Koresh. So Daniel said, I made a mistake. In the first year of the reign of Koresh, I thought that was the 70-year period of time. And Binosi, I looked into Basforim, and I made a mistake. Midukomar Binosi, he looked into it, Meklal Dato, that he made a mistake. So therefore, even Daniel made a mistake in calculating the exact 70-year period of time. Now, in yesterday's discussion, we pointed out there seems to be a contradiction between psukim. So now we go over that as well. One pasuk from Yirmiyah and one pasuk from Daniel. So the first pasuk says, Milos Lebavel. It says, in Yirmiyah, Ksiv, Milos Lebavel, says, after the 70 years are done, for Bavel, Milos Lebavel. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember us. And then the other pasuk in Daniel says, Uksiv, L'charvos Yerushalayim. The 70 years will be counted from the destruction of Yerushalayim. So what does it mean, Milos Lebavel? You count 70 years from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered us. And then it says, from the time that he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The two psukim don't seem to be in accord with each other. So Omar Rava says, no, simple answer. Lefkida bi'alma, the first pasuk that says that Hashem will remember us, Milos Lebavel, that refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering his nation from the time of Koresh's ascension to power, because that's when Koresh allowed them to start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, although it was subsequently stopped. And therefore, that period of time was from the beginning of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, which really started 18 years before the end of the destruction with the defeat of Yehoyakim by Nebuchadnezzar. So that's where that calculation of 70 years come from. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered us at that point by allowing Koresh to consider going and bringing back the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it says by Koresh. Ko'amar Koresh Melech Pras. Koresh, who was the Melech of Pras, he said, all the countries of the world Hashem gave over to me to rule over them. And he told me to go build a bayis in Yerushalayim. So that's when he remembered Klal Yisrael, but albeit that wasn't when the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. And only in Daniel, when he says L'charvos Yerushalayim, that's the 7 years, that's when the Beis HaMikdash was actually rebuilt from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's that 18-year discrepancy that these psukim refer to. Now, Dorish Rav Nachman Baruch Hista, Rav Nachman Baruch Hista darshins about Koresh, and it says, "Ma'idus." What does it mean when it says "Ko Amar Hashem L'Mashiacho L'Koresh"? It seems to be saying that Hashem said to the Moshiach, the Anointed One, who is Koresh, "Asher Achzati Bimino," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him great power. Now, does that really imply that Koresh is the Mashiach? The Koresh Mashiach? Absolutely not. Of course, Koresh wasn't the Mashiach. So what does the pasuk mean? El Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Moshiach. HaKodesh Baruch Hu said L'Mashiacho. He said to Moshiach ben David. HaKodesh Baruch Hu said in Shemayim to the Moshiach, you're potentially about to come right now. However, Kovel Ani L'Chal Koresh, but I'm going to have to Nebuch complain to you. Kovel is a lotion of complaining. Oy, if only, Kovel Ani L'Chal Koresh, I'm complaining to you, Kom Hashem L'Mashiacho, Hashem to his Moshiach, Likoresh, it means Al Koresh, about Koresh, that Nebuch, he could have brought the Mashiach right now, if only he had gone himself to build the Beis HaMikdash. Ani Amarti Hu Yivne Beisi. I said, that's the passage we just brought down. The Koresh said, Olai Livnoslo Beis V'Yushalayim. He was told by Hashem to go build the Beis HaMikdash. V'Yikabetz Kol Yosai. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have gathered in the entire Golus and would have brought Mashiach Tzikenu right then and there. Nebuch, but what did Koresh do? Who Amar Koresh said, Mi Bochem, we call Amo, who amongst you, the Jewish people, wants to build the Beis HaMikdash? Hashem will be with you, V'yal, go up and build it. But Koresh missed out on the opportunity. And the Rashba says, if only Koresh had built the Beis HaMikdash at that point in time, Moshiach Tzikinu would have come. And that's what Hashem is speaking to the Mashiach. Call Hashem the Mashiach. Hashem is speaking to the Moshiach ben David. Oy, if only Koresh had done what he was supposed to do, and he himself had built the Beis HaMikdash, that would have been the coming of Mashiach. Now we go back to the Megillah. The Megillah tells us, with Arshi in the Megillah, Chel Paras Umadai HaParutimim. It says that the Chel, that's the army of Paras and Madai, and they were the Parutimim. The Parutimim, many translated as like Sultan. So it means the royalty, the nobility of Paras and Madai. So it uses the term Parutimim by Paras Umadai, and then it uses the term Uksiv Lemalche Madai Uparas. So which one is it? First of all, it says Paras Umadai, and then it says Madayu Paras, and he uses the term Paratimim, and he uses the term Malche. Seems to be two contrasting ideas. So again, Rava answers. Rava says, Amar Rava, Asnuye Asnu Badode. So they made a tnai, so to say, between Madai and Paras. They were two states that got together to make one big, huge nation, and they said, Iminon Malche, if we're the one that's going to be the king, Minaychu Ifarche, then you'll be all the other leadership. You'll be the governors, you'll be the senators. And if the king comes from the other group, then you'll be the ones to be the leaders. And if the king is from my country, then you'll have the governor. So Madai said to Paras, whichever one is the king, the other one will have the other branch of government, so to say. They'll have all the other leadership people. So Madai and Paras, they sat together and they figured it out. The Gemara continues by darshing the next pasuk of the Megillah. Beharo sois oshek v'ol machus so Achashverosh wanted to show everybody how wealthy he was. So Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina said, Malamei shelavash big dekuna. He wanted to show off how wealthy he was, so he wore the big dekuna. Ksiv hacha. How do we know that he wore the big dekuna? Because it says Yikar tif eretz gedula so. That's what the pasuk says. And it was Yikar tif eretz gedula so that he wore. And Ksiv Hasim, it says over there, in regards to the Big Dekuna, L'chavod ul'sifares. So it uses the similar words, Tiferes, and that means that Achashverosh wore the Big Dekuna. In Farshim, there are many discussions over here about what was Achashverosh's punishment for doing so, or why wasn't he punished even more severely, but we don't have time to go into that right now, but it's a very big question. How could Achashverosh, so to say, get away with wearing the Big Dekuna? And ultimately he didn't. He killed his wife Vashti in the next episode. That certainly was part of the punishment. Then it says, Uvumos Hayomim Eilev Gomer. It says, after they had all these huge days of parties, only then did he invite the local people from Shushan to the party as well. So this is a machlokes between Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel, Chadomar Melech Pikechio, Chadomar Melech Tibeshio. One said Achashverosh was very, very smart by inviting the people of Shushan only at the very end. And the other one said that, no, he was very, very stupid for inviting the people of Shushan at the very end. And in the Targum, it tells us some additional background information to make us able to better understand this machlokus between Rav Shmuel. So it's brought down in the Targum, Shebetchila Mardu Hamedinos Harichokos Al Achashverosh. When Achashverosh came to power, he was a young, novice type of a king, and everybody started up with him. So there was rebellions in the far distances of his 127 states. The Nuchambem, and he fought with them, the Kivshem, and he defeated them. Now, he then made a suda to try to get everybody under his rule and to be happy with his being the rule. So he brought in all the people from all over the world. And that's what Rav Shmuel is saying in Machlokes. Why did he invite the people of Shushan only at the very, very end? So one said he was very smart for doing this. One said he was very stupid for doing this. We don't know whether it was Rav Shmuel who said which one. Mandi Amar Melech Pikachya, whichever one said that he was very, very smart, they said Shapir Ovid to carve Ruchika Bereisha, that he first brought in the people that were from far away that had rebelled against him, because the Bnei Mase Kolemaz Debayim Faislu, because when he was bringing the people from far away, so now they had a chance to get in on his good terms, and he would be in good relationship with them, and therefore he appeased them first, because they're going back to their homes, so he wanted to make sure that there was a strong connection with them. If the local people were to be upset with him, he'd always have the ability to go and appease them, and to make sure that they were happy with him. So first he took care of the ones that were farther away, because they were the ones at a bigger risk to him, because the local home area he was able to always contact with. So therefore, Chadomar Melech Pikechio, that he did this very intelligently. But the other opinion knows, no, it was very stupid. That he was actually a very, very stupid king. He first should have solidified his base, right? You have the political candidates, they first they always solidify their base, and then they go out and reach for the independence. So he should have first made sure that his own hometown, the local people, would be fully supportive of him. And only then, because the Imardu Bei Hanach, Hanu have a kaime bade, because then if the people from far away would have rebelled against him, he would have had a very solid base that would go and fight for him and back him up. So therefore, that was a very stupid approach for him to go and first try to secure the relationship with the distant countries rather than first solidifying his base. Similarly, Shaul Tamid of Shimon Yochai, the Tamid asked Shimon Yochai the following question. Again, this is a euphemism that we always have. We don't want to say bad things about Chai Yisrael. We don't want to say bad things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chai Yisrael. So therefore we say, for what reason did Sonei and Shai Yisrael, which really means Chai Yisrael, Nebuch, were they Chayav, Sheba Osu Ador Kliya? In that generation, they were supposed to be destroyed. What was Haman's Heter, so to say, to go and destroy the Jewish people? What did we do wrong that Haman seemingly could have come to power and destroyed us? So that's what the Tamid, the Master Shimon Yochai. So he said to them, Amalehem, he said back to the Tamid, what do you think? Imrule Atem. Good Socratic teaching method. He asked the question to the Rabbi, and he says, no, what do you think is the answer? So Shimon Yochai said to them, what do you think is the answer? So they told him back, Amalehem, they said to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, they said, Rabbi, B'nei Shenanu Misudaso Shalosa Rosh, because they ate at the meal of Achashverosh, where he took out all the kalim, they took out all the utensils of the Beis Hamikdash, and he wore the big day kahuna, and yet they were part of it. So that was a terrible, terrible Averus. And he said, okay, that must be why the Jewish people deserved Chas v'Shalom Shabosu Ador Kliya. They deserve to be destroyed. Shimon Yochai didn't like this answer. Shimon Yochai said to them, if that were true, in Cain, only the Jews in Shushan, in Cain should be Shushan year ago, Shimon Olam Kulu a year ago, but only the Jews of Shushan participated in that feast. So why should the rest of the Jewish people be punished? Now, what was the thinking of the Talmidim? They were thinking, that all Klai Yisrael is connected and interconnected, and therefore, if part of Klai Yisrael did something wrong, it could impact the entire Klai Yisrael. So that was their thinking. But that's, Rosh Hashanah said, wrong. So Amulau, so the Talmidim said back to the Rabbi, Nu, Emor Ata. So Rabbi, you tell us, then what's the reason that the Jewish people deserve to be destroyed during this period of time by Haman? What would have been the reasoning? So Amulam, so Rosh Hashanah tells them, Mipnei Sheishtachavu Letzelem, because they bowed down to the Tzelem. Now which Tzelem is this? It's not Haman. One might have thought that this would be Haman. Rashi says, no, they bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar. There are all those that say it was Haman, but most say that this was Nebuchadnezzar, like Rashi does. And therefore, since they bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar, this was in the days of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, that they were thrown into the Kivshan Age. They were the only ones that didn't bow down, so therefore, that's when they would deserve to be destroyed. So there are a couple of questions. First of all, so why did Kaiso do this? Why weren't they Yoharig Vayavar? Why didn't they give up their lives? So Tosus elsewhere says that because it was really an Andarto, it really was a bust of the king and not an Avodah Zarah, and therefore, technically, they were allowed to, and that's why most of Klai Yisrael did it. But Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, they wanted make Kiddush Hashem, and they said, we'll even be willing to give up our lives in order not to even bow down to something that we technically would be allowed to bow down to. Okay, so that answers that. But the bigger question is, why now, during the days of Achashverosh, are they being punished for something that happened years before in the days of Nebuchadnezzar? So one answer that's brought down by the Bina Yohu, that is the Ben Ishchai. So he writes that the reason why they weren't punished then was because they could argue then it was an onus. They were forced. They didn't have a choice. But here by Achashverosh, they weren't forced. And now, the taina that they previously had, oh, we only bowed down to the Andarto of Nebuchadnezzar because we had no choice. Well, now it became clear that they would have bowed down even if they did have a choice. Because by Achashverosh, they weren't forced to bow down. So therefore, that's why they were punished now. But they're punished now in retrospect for having bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar because the terrors that they had then went away. Svas Emes adds over here, by the way, and he says, Rova Yudim lo ishtachul haman. He said, in fact, why it had to be the answer that Rashi said that it was Nebuchadnezzar's tzelem that they were talking about and not Haman, because most of the Jews didn't bow down to Haman. The gzera that you had to bow down to Haman was only if you were in his presence. Who was in his presence? Very, very few people. And therefore, most of Chayisor just didn't go in front of Haman, and this didn't come to them. However, the tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar was all over the place, and therefore, that's why Rashi points out over here, it was because they bowed down to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Armelo, the Talmidim said back to their Rebbe, Rishim Yochai, V'chi maso ponim yesh badover. So if this is true, that the Jewish people bowed down, so how come we, in fact, weren't destroyed? How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu save us if we deserve to be destroyed? Yahorik v'yavar, we're supposed to have given up our lives, but we didn't. So Amalehem, so Rishim Yochai says back to the Talmidim, he says, Hem lo asu el lefnim. They only did it in a superficial, outwardly fashion. So therefore, so too, Afa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lo'aso Yimon El Lefnim. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu only made it look on the outside that they were going to get wiped out. They really weren't bowing down to the Nebuchadnezzar. They were scared. And they said, it's not really Avodah Zarah, and Kodesh Baruch Hu knows that we're not really bowing down to him, but we're afraid for our lives, and we're technically allowed to do this. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to make it look like you're being killed, just like you made it look like you were bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar. And that's what it says, Hainu Dechsev. The Pasuk says in Eicha, Hainu Dechsev, Ki lo ino mi libo. They weren't afflicted from their heart. That means that they, in fact, didn't mean to do this sin, but it just looked like it. So therefore, it looked like they were going to be wiped out, but they weren't. The Megillah continues to be darshan, and the Gemara says, "Bachatzar ginas bisan amelech." It uses three expressions: Bachatzar, ginas, and bisan. These three places of the king: the courtyard, the garden, and the house, the palace itself. Now, Rav Shmuel, again, we don't know which one said which. Chadamar, one of them said, "Haroy lechotzer lechotzer." The people that were invited to the courtyard, they got to go to the courtyard. Those that are royal legina, they were to go to the garden. They went to the garden. And haroy lebisan, those that got invited into the palace itself, they went to the palace lebisan. The Chadamar, the other one said, either Rav Shmuel, Chadamar, hoshiva mechotzer lohechzikan. First, everybody was put to the courtyard, but it wasn't able to hold it. There were too populous. There were too many people. So therefore, they brought him into the gardens as well, begina. However, lohechzikasim, that also couldn't hold all the people. Oh, Ashik Nisosun Labison, they then brought him into the palace. The palace was huge. Vechzikasim, now they were all able to be accommodated in these larger areas. Furthermore, we learn in the Brisa, b'masnisa tono, hoshivan bechotzer, uposach lem shnei psochim. Another version of this was they put them all into the courtyard, and there were two exit ways on each side. Echad Lagina, one went into the garden, the overflow went that way, the Echad Labisan, and the other went in the overflow into the palace itself. Gemara continues the darshan and says, Chur, Karpas, Usecheles. There were all of these beautiful tapestries made out of Chur and Karpas and Techeles. So my Chur, what does it mean by Chur? So Rav Amar, Chore, Chore. Rav says, and Rashi explains over here, that Chore, Chore means it was sewn together. Maisa Machat, Meleches Hamatzos, Hoysai Suya, Nekob, Nekob. It was made like a woven type of a garment that has lots of holes in it. Chor means holes. That's Rav. Shmuel Amar, here we know which what Rav said and which Shmuel said. Shmuel Amar, Melas Levono Hitzil Lahem, that it was a white type of a wool that these tapestries were made out of. That's what Chor means. Now, then Yoyada says that both of them were correct. They made them out of many holes, and it was a white tapestry at the same time. So both of them were correct. They're not mutually exclusive. The Aruch explains that these Chori Chori Shayu Elu Kein Vilonos Haprushim Bein Hayoshim. They were spread out like curtains in between the people sitting down, but they had holes in between them, so you could see in between this group and that group, there was like a machitza with holes in it, they were able to see one to the other. The Alshech explains that Chor means Yirio Shayu Prusos Me'al L'Roshe HaMusubim L'Hotzel HaRoshim, that they were like canopies on the top of people because some of them were outdoors in the gardens and in the courtyards, so to protect them from the weather, from the elements, from the rain, or whatever, so they had these canopies spread out over them. That's what this Chur, Karpas, Utecheles were. In any event, Gemara says, what is Karpas? What exactly is Karpas? We explain what Chur was. What is Karpas? So Rav Yossi Rechanina says, Karim Shel Pasim. These were these pillows that were made out of a certain type of wool known as Pasim wool, like the Tonus Pasim. The Megillah continues and says that they were put up on these huge silver rods and these huge marble pillars, and there were also benches or couches made out of gold and silver. So all of this, so Tanya, the Gemara tells us in the following brisa, those people that were choshev, they got to sit on silver. But those that were even more harsh of royal resolve, they got to sit on golden benches. So Amalei Ruchemia tells Rabbi Yehuda, that can't be in Cain, Atamato Kina Besuda. Whoa, people who are sitting in the lower echelon seats are going to be jealous of people sitting in the higher echelon seats. That wouldn't accomplish what Achashverosh wanted to accomplish to get everybody happy. So therefore, Rabbi Nechemia says, no, Elohein shall kesef, Viraglem shall zov. Now all the benches, all these seats were made out of silver, but their legs were made out of gold. Others explain that the location of the better seats was silver, and the worst seats was gold. So therefore, everybody would be happy no matter where they sat. You were sitting on gold, albeit you were in the bleachers. But if you're sitting on silver, you have a better seat. You're sitting up front, but you only sat on silver. That's another explanation. Tosus asks, if you're worried here about Rav Nechemia being Matil Kina, so then the previous explanation that we said, Bachatzah Ginas Bisan HaMelech, so Haroy L'Chotzer L'Chotzer, Haroy L'Gina L'Gina, Haroy L'Bisan L'Bisan, that seems to be self-defeating. How then, Tosus, could those people be given a different place, it would also cause kinah. Hey, I'm only sitting in these seats. I'm sitting in the bleachers. I'm sitting in the not optimal seats, and so-and-so sitting in the optimal seats. So Tosafot says, no, when you're sitting in different sections, you don't see who's sitting in the other sections, so it's not going to be matal kinah. Here, the gold are seeing the silver are seeing the gold, they're all sitting in the same section, that's going to lead to kinah. Then the Megillah continues, and it tells us, bat v'sheish, that they were also on floors that were made out of bat and sheish. Now, what is this? So Amar Rav Asi, avonim, these are referring to stones, very precious stones, shemischotitos al ba'aleim, that they were searched for. Mechotitos, Rashi says, is a loshon of looking for them. Ritzpo asolem ba'avonim chatutos, kloma shlo boli de'odim, ela betorach shemechatitin umachzirin ba'aleim achareim, ashim osin oson bedom yikar. You have to really look and look and look until you finally find them, and you pay for them a huge amount of money. That's what it means, these avonim, shemischotitos al ba'aleim. The Chayu Omer, and likewise, the Pasuk tells us from Zechariah, Abnei Nezer, the Sefer Abnei Nezer is based upon this Pasuk. Abnei Nezer, these stones that were made in a crown, Misnosisos alad Moso, they were, took a very long time. It was an Isayon to go and find them, and they're finally able to find them and make them into the crown. So too, these stones that Baat Vashesh that Achashverosh had, they were very, very difficult to find. Rabbeinu Chananel gives a slightly different explanation, and he says over here on Adav, Avonim Mischotitos Abaleim, it's machtios baleim. Whoever has them is going to be found guilty. Kolomar, komi shenim says biyado mischayev l'malchus, because einon ruuyos lehedyo. These types of stones, a regular person can't have such type of stones. Only royalty wears such type of stones. V'chein baleim, kivin shenitzos biyadeim, nosim ubaruchim shemizyori min amalchus. And if anybody were to have them, he'd have to run away. And that's what it means. They were afraid to have them. They would cause them to be sinners. They would cause them to have to run away because a common person wasn't allowed to have such stones in their possession. Well, it continues, Darshin the Megillah, and it says, Vidar v'Sochores. So they also were called Vidar and Sochores. What does this mean? So Rav Amar Dori Dori, that these stones, these very precious avonim, were surrounded, that's the Lashon of Sochores, they were surrounded by row and row, Vidar, rows and rows of Sochores surrounding these other stones. So they were beautified by these other stones. That's what Rav says. Dar v'Sochores is Dori Dori, and then around them. Shmuel, Omar, Shmuel says, Evan Tova Yesh B'Krachayim, there was a certain type of very precious stone that is found in the Krachayim, in the islands, the Dora Shema, and this name of the stone is known as Dora, and Hoshiva B'Yam Sasuda, and they put it in the middle of the meal, U'me'iro Lehem Kitzarayim, and it was shown so brightly like it was the middle of the day, like it was the sun. Right? It says by the Teva that there was a stone inside the Teva that was able to provide light to the entire Teva. So maybe this was that type of a stone. It was a luminous type of a stone. Others suggest that it refracted the light of the sun and it gave off a brilliant light. Hoshiva b'em sasudo mirulev kotzarayim. And it shone like it was the middle of the day. Today, Rabbi Shmuel taught in the base medrash Rabbi Shmuel, they learned additional. They learned the third pshat. And they said there, shekoro dror L'chobali schora, that Achashverosh did a real kindness to everybody here, and that he stopped taxing them. So there was dror. Dror means freedom, right? Karosim dror b'chol aris, the liberty bell, proclaimed liberty throughout the land. So he proclaimed a freedom, liberty from the tax, the bali schora, the people that had to go and pay all sorts of VAT and all sorts of sales tax. It was removed, and therefore everybody was very, very happy. Then it says Vashkos b'chlei zahav, he gave them all to drink from cups that were made out of gold, the kelim mi kelim shonim, and he gave them. We always say this in the Eichel Lashon. He gave them the kelim mi kelim shonim. He gave them these vessels that were from the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash. How do we know that? So the Gemara says mishunim boyle. You should have said the word mishunim, that were different rather than shonim. Shonim implies that it was the second time. So that's what it means. Omer Rava, Yotze Basko Yomlehem. So Rava said that a Basko came out from Shemayim and said to them. Others suggested it wasn't a Basko that came out, it was the Tamid HaChamim that said this, that he wasn't Zocha to have a Basko coming out. That's what the Ben Yoyada says, that they weren't Zocha to have a Basko come out. But in any event, either the Basko or the HaChamim told them, Atem Shonim Behem, you're doing the same mistake that Belshazzar did. He also took out the vessels. And look what happened to him, he died. So you're doing the same thing. So that's what it means. V'chilim, mikilim, shonim. You're doing the same terrible thing again. Darshan the Megillah further. V'yein malchus rov, b'yad ha-melech. Amar Rav, Rav says, it should have said over here, yein malchus harbe. What does it mean, rav? There was a lot. So Malame Shekolecha V'Yechad Hishko Yayin Shegodol Heimenu Bishonim. So it meant over here that you were given as much wine in terms of aging of the wine as you were old. So an older person was given very aged wine. Wine is supposedly much better if it's aged. So therefore, the older you were, the better quality wine that you got. That's what it means. V'Yayin Malchus Rav. If you were an older person, so then you got a older wine, a more special type of a wine. That's the special quality over here, V'Yayin Malchus Rav. The Gemara continues and it says, V'ashasiyo achadas. Now we have the word enones. Now it's not wrong. That is the next words. However, we're not going to darsh enones right now. We're going to darsh it in a minute. So therefore, some put this in parentheses. In any event, it says, V'ashasiyo achados. The drinking was exactly according to the halacha, kados. What does it mean, my kados? What does it mean, the halacha? So I'm a Rabbi Chanan, Mishum Rebbe. Rabbi Chanan says the name of Rebbe. Kados shel Torah. It meant ki halacha. What does that mean? So just like when you bring korbanos, so the ratio of the korban is an arrangement of how much of the animal is brought and how much of the nesachim. So a larger animal has more nesachim. A smaller animal has less nesachim. The smaller animal, the smallest animal, has even less nesachim. So one will have a revius ahin, a shlishis ahin, a chatzi ahin. So it all depends on the size of the animal. So the drinking is based upon the food should be more than the drink in order not to get drunk. So therefore, kadashel Torah, ma dashel Torah, achila merubim shesia, that normally we eat more than we drink in order not to become drunk. So too, asu dosu shel osu rasha, Achashverosh, that wicked man, that osu rasha, he also wanted to be achila merubim shesia. He didn't want them to get drunk. He had the incorrect idea. He said, well, I'm drinking from the Beis Hamikdash's utensils. I don't want to anger the God, so I'll make sure nobody gets drunk and says or does anything ridiculous. Now, Tosa says over here, V'am rinam benida, kosha achilosa meruba mishasiyaso, asmosav sachuyin. It's actually not good to have more food than drink. So that seems to go contradict this. It's more nida, seems to contradict the more over here. So Tosa says, no, hayna ba'ocha yosemidai. That's excessive amounts of food. That's not good. But the normal ratio of food to drink is that you have more food than drink. We know, for example, that alcohol in an empty stomach is much more dangerous than alcohol when eating with a meal. Mark continues and says, the end of that pasuk, which we had before in parentheses, v'ashisio achados, ein ones. What does that mean, ein ones? Amar b'loza, malami shukolecha v'yechad, hishko miyayim medinoso. Everybody drank the wine that they were used to drinking, so therefore they would drink it willingly. They weren't forced to go drink something that they weren't accustomed to. Continues the Gemara, Darshin the Megillah, Lasos, Kirtzon, Ish Vayish. It was done in accord with the will of every person. Ish Vayish, that's not what it means. Amar Rava, Lasos, Kirtzon, Mordechai, Bahaman. The Ish Vayish over here are the two men, Haman and Mordechai. Each of them had an idea not to have certain types of drinking done inappropriately. So Haman had his own ideas, and Mordechai has his ideas, both of them, Kirtzon Ish V'Ish. Amar Rava, Lasos, Kirtzon, Mordechai V'Haman. Mordechai, they'll say, Ish Udi. He's referred to as Ish, Ish Udi. And Haman, Ish Tzar V'Yev. Haman Harah Azeh. So he's also referred to as Ish. So this refers to Ish V'Ish, like the reasoning behind Mordechai and Haman. Now what's going on over here? So the Mepharshim explained that Mordechai rotza shlo ya'achilu v'yashku es Yisrael v'davar isu. Mordechai wanted to be sure that they didn't drink yayin esel, that they didn't drink wine that was not kosher, etc., anything was wrong with it. Whereas Haman, he wanted them to eat and drink and do all sorts of terrible averas that being inebriated and being very, very overly joyous would lead to. So each of them had a different reason to try to make this party turn out the way they wanted it to work out. Then the Gemara continues, Darshni in the Megillah, Gam Vashti Amalkos, Somishtei Noshim, Beis Amalchus. Vashti also made a big party, and it says, Beis Amalchus. Now that was a problem. Beis Anoshim, it should have been made in her private, secluded chambers, not in the Beis Amalchus. The women were separated. So why were they doing over here in the Beis Amalchus? So I'm a Rabba. Rabba again dashes many of these things, and Rabba tells us, Shneihem Lidvar Avera Niskabdo. When Achashverosh is about to say, as we all know the story, I'm not giving away any secrets over here, he's about to say, send for Vashti and let her parade around here naked and show everybody how beautiful she is. So she was only too willing. She said, I'm going to be right nearby and ready to come at a moment's notice. So therefore, Shneihem, both Achashverosh and Vashti, both had the same horrific immoralities in mind. Amar Rava, Shneihem Lidvar Avera Niskabdo. They both wanted to do the same immoral things. And Haidam Rinshin, that's what people say, Ihu Bekare. Say a man is with a kare, that's a large pumpkin, Vitzay and his wife, and we turn to your bays, Omibes, Bebutzine, she's with smaller pumpkins. Some say this with larger leaves and smaller leaves. In other words, they're the same idea. They each want the same thing. They're just different, but they each want the same thing. They're very, very similar. As Rashi says, that Zen Noef, Zono Ephes. She was an adulteress and he was an adulterer, and they couldn't each wait to do their immoral things. And therefore, Niskadno Shistaklu Biofio. She was all ready to go and show everybody how beautiful she was to entice people to do Averis. Then the pasuk continues, and we darshan further. On the seventh day, which we'll see is Shabbos, so they're all very, very happy with drinking wine. Mora says, and until now they weren't overly joyous because of the wine. They were drinking wine all the time. So was it on the seventh day they became suddenly happy with the wine? So Mora says, Amar Rava, again, Rava is the one that darshans many of these things. Rava says, Yom HaShvi'i Shabbos. It's not just any seventh day. It was the seventh day. It was Shabbos. And the point of view over here that they're trying to teach us is, look at the way we treat our holiday and the way they treat their holiday. I always point out, look at the difference between New Year's in the secular world, the Nebuch, the number of car crashes because of drunks on the road and all sorts of inappropriate activities that go on New Year's Eve. And you look at our Rosh Hashanah, Kaviyocho, the difference between them is polar opposite, that we're in our most solemn and serious mood on our New Year's, and in the secular world, it's the biggest day of partying. And therefore, that's the contrast that the Megillah brings down over here. Look at the way they treat their seventh-day Shabbos and the way we treat Shabbos. Shisrael, Ochle Mishosin, Maschila Midirei Torah, Midirei Shishmacho. So we sit down to the Shabbos Uda. Yes, we eat and drink very nice, beautiful things, Onik Shabbos, but the Shabbos table is filled with Zmiros and Shishmacho, Suakosh Shmacho, and with Divrei Torah, with the Parsha sheets from the kids, and saying over nice Vertlach from the Parsha. However, what did the goyim do? Aval ovdei kochavim sheochlim mishosin. They eat and drink ein maschilim lebedivrei siflus. So their entire get together at these parties and at these drinking affairs is to debauchery and to go nevach do immoral things. Look at a bar and look at the difference between a suda Shabbos. And that's what happened over here with Achashverosh. Halalu omrim modios no. So what happened? They were all very, very happy with their wine. And these people from Mod, they said, oh, the prettiest women are the Modi women. Modius knows. Oh, and these guys said, no, Parsios knows. The Persian women are the best. So Achashverosh opens up his mouth. Omalem Achashverosh. Kli shani mishtavish bo. Again, look at the language they use, the prust, the language. That utensil that I use. I mean, a woman is not a utensil that you use. That's the way he referred to his wife. The kli that I use, kli shani mishtavish bo. Ain't a low mod, yeah, low parsi. It's not mod, like you're saying is the best, not parsi. You're saying is the prettiest. Now look, Kazdi. It's Kazdian, and it's much prettier than yours. And he piques their interest with Tzonchim Leroso to go and see her. Now, his intention was prust as well, because he was going to say, well, I'll show you mine, you show me yours. So I wanted to bring all the wives here and get all the wives undressed in front of us and we can take a good look. So Tzonchim Leroso, and his intention was, I'll show you my wife, you show me your wives. But they were a little bit afraid of that, so they didn't want to do that. Some of them, and yeah, well, we would love to see your wife, but you got to bring her naked. Because they just assumed that nobody would be so crazy as to agree to that and bring his wife out naked. So therefore, they felt that they would be safe. He wouldn't ask to bring his wife out, therefore, they wouldn't have to bring their wives out. Some do suggest that it wasn't actually totally naked. They were arguing that it has to do with whether they were clothed beautifully. And if a woman was clothed beautifully, it could make even the more homely type of women look beautiful. That's what we just had in the end of Gemara of Tainus. We talked about that the girls who weren't so pretty, they would say, if you gave us nice clothing, so then we could also become beautiful looking. So that's what some suggest over here. Let your wife come out, but not wearing the royal garments, the royal robe. Let her come out with plain clothing and let's see if she's so beautiful then. But the simple understanding, no, was he was asking her to come out naked. So, and that's exactly the way the Gemara understands this, because the Gemara says, the way that you treat other people, that's the way you'll be treated yourself. What did the horrible Vashti do? You get the impression that Vashti is this poor little girl over here that she's being brought out. Vashti was the daughter of Belshazzar. She was a Rasha Mirusha from day one. Some suggest she was the daughter of Abel Merodach, because Belshazzar, they say, was actually the brother of Abel Merodach, not the son of Abel Merodach. In any event, Vashti comes from a lineage of Rishoyim, and she was a horrible, wicked lady herself, and she deserved everything that happened to her. Malami Shoyis of Vashti HaRishah. The Gemara refers to her as Vashti HaRishah. Have no compassion for Vashti. Don't think that she was misappropriated to come over here, and then a terrible thing was done to her. It was the Me Too movement, and Vashti's part of the Me Too movement, like some silly people say. No, Rachmana Litzlan, Vashti was a Rishah. What did she do to the Jewish women? The Me Too movement. She was the Me Too movement. Vashti a Rishah, Mevia Benos Yisrael, Umavshita Narumos, Vaoso Ben Meloch B'Shabbos. She brought the Jewish girls, stripped them naked, made them work on Shabbos. So she made them embarrassed to work around, run around naked, Jewish women having to run around naked, and to do work on Shabbos. This is the righteous Vashti. No, this is Vashti HaRishah. She was a horrible, horrible person, and she deserved getting what she got. And Haidu Dursiv, that's why it says, Achar Hadvar Me'eleh, Kishol Hamas HaMelech HaShirosh, after they finally get the Eitzah go and kill Vashti, as we'll see in the Gemara. So after they all get undrunk, and now they realize what they did, so Achar is Vashti, V'Eitzah Salsa. So Achashvira remembers Vashti, and what she did, V'Eitzah Shir Nigzar Olea, and the Gzera that was on to her. He saw the Mida Keneged Mida. She stripped everybody naked, so she was killed because she didn't want to come stripped naked. So therefore, she got exactly what she deserved. This is what Yisrael saw. He also saw the Mida Keneged Mida of Paro. The Paro was punished in Mitzrayim. He was, everything that he did to Klai Yisrael, he was punished. Bidiyuk, Mida Keneged Mida can't get that. That's what even Achashverosh realized. What Vashti tried to do to the Jewish women was done to her. Now, we go back to the beginning of the story. It says, Vatimayin HaMalko Vashti. Vashti refused to come, which is very, very strange. Mirte, we just said, Pritzasa HaBoy. She was only too happy to come. She set up, not Beis HaNoshim, she set it up, Beis HaMalchus. She was only waiting to be called to come in and strut her stuff. So, as we just said, both of them wanted to do these immoralities. They both wanted to parade around in an inappropriate, undressed state. So, my time was, so why didn't she come? Why does it say, Vatime Malko Vashti Lavo? Why did she not come? So, Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, Rav Yossi Bar Chanina tells us, Milamet Shepar Chabot Saras. Reason number one is that she got Saras, and she looked horrible, and she didn't want to go out looking horrible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that she didn't want to go out. Vasisa Tana, Raisa tells us a different reason. Ba Gabriel, the Malach Gabriel came, but also a Zonav, and the Malach Gabriel came and made her a Zonav. A Zonav is a tail. Now, not everybody agrees that it actually was a tail. There are those that say, like the Marsha, it says, of course, it's a tail. It says it's a tail. Why would you think that it's not a tail? The Aruch says it means any type of a unusual or extra part of her body that grew. Some say it was a big wart that grew. Some say it was a big pimple that grew. Whatever it was, lav dafka, it meant the tail. It just meant something that wasn't supposed to be there. The Rashba explains that the word Rosh and Zonav are general terms. When you say somebody was the Rosh, it doesn't mean he was literally the head. It means he was the most chashev. And Zonav is an example of the least chashev. So that's what it meant. It made her have something that was making her very, very unchashev. Something that would make her lignai and not liyofi. Now, why was this in brackets? We have it over here, Bar Gabriel, also Lozov is in brackets. So there are those that suggest that the censors took this part out, and that's why you don't find Rashi on this, and you don't find Tosus on this as well. Mark continues and says, Vayiktsov HaMelech Miod, the king got very angry. He was very, very upset. V'chamaso Barabo, some add the words, V'chamaso Barabo, which is the next words, they put it over here as well. Amai Dolko Be'kuliha. Now, why did he get very angry? Vayiktsov HaMelech Barabo, they got so angry. Because she responded to him. He sent for her and she didn't come. That would have been bad enough. But she didn't just not come. Amar Rava, again, Rava is the one that darshes many of these things. And he tells Shoch Leh, she sent back to him a message and called him Bar Ahuryore the Abba. You are the son of the stable boy of my father. Her father, as I said, according to Moses Boshatza, there is an opinion that says her father was Abel Merodach. But in any event, she says, you're nothing. You're not even like a stable boy of my father. Now, he wasn't really a stable boy of her father, Belshazzar. He was the son of Dayovish Hamada, according to most. So this is just putting him down. She was dissing him. And she said, Abba, my father, he knew how to drink. Lekavel alfo chamra, he could drink 1,000 cups of wine. Shasi velo rabbi. He could drink so much wine, and he didn't get drunk like you. Vau gavra, you, Achashverosh, ishtate b'chamra. You became foolish from drinking your wine, and you're calling me in when I'm in a state that's inappropriate for me to come in. Miyad, that's why, v'chamaso barabo. It wasn't that he just, v'yiksof melabo, that she didn't come, but she added insult to injury, and that's why he got burning hot anger. And therefore he says, v'yomar melech chachamim, he says to the chachamim, help me out over here. What should I do to Vashti? Now the chachamim were in a problem. They were in a pickle. Because no matter what they said, It was a lose-lose situation. So the Gemara says, Man Chacham, who are the Chacham? These are the Rabbanim. This is Sanhedrin. And they were called Yodei Ha'itim. When he says to the Chacham, Yodei Ha'itim, that's a reference to Sheyodim La'ab Rishonim L'kbo HaKadoshim. They knew how to go and calculate when you needed to reconcile the lunar year with the solar year so that our calendar should be correct over time. So they knew how to make the seven Iba months, the seven Iba years that they would have to have, the seven times you'd have to have Adar in a 19-year cycle, the 28-year cycles. They knew all about this. Sheyodim La'ab Rishonim L'kbo HaKadoshim. They knew when to go and make the months and the years correct so that align the lunar and solar calendars. So he went to them and said, Amalu, he said to the Chachamim, Dainu Ali, tell me what to do to Vashti, judge her for me. And therefore, how should I go and address her chutzpah to me? So they were in a pickle. Amru, Hechinav, they said to themselves, what are we supposed to do? Name Ale Katla, if we tell him go kill her, so then he's going to wake up tomorrow morning and he's going to say, who told me to kill my wife? Kill them. Lamacher, Pasik Le Chamre, the wine's going to be removed from his body, he's going to be no longer drunk, of why Allah me not, and he's going to take it out on us. Hey, what'd you do? Killed my wife, I'm going to kill you. No, say nothing. Name Olay Shavke, let her go, no big deal. Come Zazel Malchusa, he's going to go and get us into trouble because she was embarrassing him, and we're saying, no, don't do anything about it. So they were stuck, they didn't know what to do, so they came up with the following plan. Amulo, they said to Achashverosh, listen, we'd love to help you, but we can't. The Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, on the day that the Beis HaMikdash Nebuch was destroyed, the Galino Meretzeinu, we're on the go, we're itinerant, we're removed from our homeland, and we can't think straight. Nitla Eitzim Imenu, since we're not in a composed state of mind, where our freedom of mind is that we're on the run, we're in Golus, we're in the diaspora, so we can't think straight. Nitla, we can't give you advice anymore. And we don't even have the right to judge capital cases anymore because we're not in our land. So you know what? Go to the people that are still in the land and ask them. Zil Agabe. Now we have the Gersa Amon Moav. Others are encouraged the word Amon because Amon was also displaced, and it really is just Moav. Go to Moav. The Yasve Biduchtayu. They're still sitting in the country. They never were displaced. Kechamra the Yosef Aldur Daye. And they're like a wine that's on the sediment that it was made from, and that's the best position or frame of mind to be in to go judge such cases. So go and ask Moav, and they'll tell you what to do. The Taima Amule, and the rabbi showed to Achashverosh that they were right. Because the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Shanon Moav Minurav. Moav is very, very quiet, and they're comfortable from their youth. The Shoketu, they're quiet, El Shimorav. And they're like a wine that is very well settled on the dregs of the wine at the bottom, on the sediment. Below Hurak be clear, it hasn't been poured from one utensil to another, utensil from one clean to another clean, or begalolach, and they haven't been put into exile. So in other words, they're very calm. Go ask Moav. Akain, on my time above Rechel Nomar, because they have their sense about them, they're not moved about, they have a calmness to them, they can think straight, Rechel Nomar, and their smell hasn't changed. In other words, they're the ones you go and ask. Nu, Miyad, Achashverosh listens to the Chazal, he listens to the Sanhedrin, Vakarove Lov. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't mention them or even say Begomer, but all seven of them are now going to be darshan. And as Rashi says, Vakarov Elov is the root of why they're darshan this way, because Hakarov means like a korban. Amr of Levi, Shum Korbanos Nemar. As Rashi points out, all of these seven names are allusions that the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Are you going to let him get away with this? After all, Klai Yisrael goes and brings all these korbanos, and they don't. And therefore, you have to go save Klai Yisrael. So this is the institution of the saving of Klai Yisrael. So Amar Rav Levi, Kolpos is al shum korbanos demai. We're still all said in reference to korbanos. So what is that? Hakarov love these korbanos? Karshina. What's Karshina? It's a new trico, and it's like a shorthand for Amar Malachi Shor Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Klum Yikrivu Levanecha, Karim B'nei Shana, that's Karshina. Do they bring to you these lambs that are in the first year of life for korbanos, Kedero Shekrivu Yisrael Lefanecha, like the Jews go and bring to you? They don't bring them, so therefore you have to save the Jewish people. Similarly, the next name is Shesar, Karshana Shesar. Shesar is Kulum Yikrivu Lefanecha, Shtei Sarim. Shesar is Shtei Sarim. It's the trika for Shtei Sarim, that on many occasions the Jewish people bring to you two types of pigeon offerings that they bring to you. Do the goyim do that? The next word, admosa, klum banu lefanecha mizbeach adama. Have the goyim built to you a mizbeach that was made from the ground? Did they make a mizbeach for you to go sacrifice on like the Jewish people did? Tarshish, klum shimshu lefanecha bevigde kahuna. The Tarshish is a reference to the bevigde kahuna. The chsibu, Tarshish vishoam v'yoshvei. These are various types of fancy diamonds that are in the beged of the Kohen Gadol. Tarshish is a certain type of one of the precious stones that's in the Kohen Gadol's garment in the Choshen. So this is the Tarshish. The other day we had the word Tarsis. That was the place. Tarshish here means a certain type of a stone. Then the next name is Meris. We didn't have that name mentioned, but it's next name in the list. Meris, that's a reference to stirring. Kulum Merisu Bedam Lefanecha, the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do they stir their blood? We know, like a Yom Kippur, when the certain blood is put down, so it has to be constantly stirred so it couldn't congeal. That's why they had it not on a flat bottom. It had to be on something that was a pointy bottom container, so therefore it was constantly being held so it wouldn't spill over, and they would stir it, and that would force them to go stir it. So do they go stir the blood like the Jewish people do? And finally, Mar Sinah, Klum Merisu Bimenachos Lefanecha, do they stir the Menachos like the Jewish people do? They don't do that. So again, you have to come and help the Jewish people. What's the difference between Meres and Maris Sinah? So the Mepharshim explained Meres is they were just stirring it, but it didn't make it improved in any way, that just so it shouldn't congeal, it shouldn't get worse. Whereas Maris Sinah, a longer word, that means that they improved it by mixing the oil and the flour together, so that made it better. That's called Maris Sinah. And finally, the seventh and final name is Memuchan. What was that? Did they go and prepare a lechem aponim, the shulchan which had the lechem aponim on it, like the Jewish people did? So this is what the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gemara continues to darsh in the Megillah where it says, Vayomer Mimuchan. So Mimuchan said, who was Mimuchan? Tano, the Brisa says, Mimuchan is Haman. Mimuchan is Haman. Why was he called that? Balama Nikwa Shmo Mimuchan, Shemuchan, Mimuchan, Leparanus. He was prepared for punishment. In other words, he caused all these terrible things to happen. That's one interpretation. He caused Vashti to die. He caused all the troubles to occur to the Jewish people. And ultimately, he was himself killed. And that's Mimuchan Leparanus for himself. Not only for others, he was eventually Mimuchan Leparanus for himself. Interesting, Tosus brings out a Medrash that Mimuchan is Daniel. And he couldn't go and get his wife to speak his language. She was greater than him, and he couldn't get her to speak his language. And therefore, Yoatz Lassos came. So therefore, he was the one that went to say, go and make them all be kofet to their husbands. Okay, very strange Tosfos. Very strange pshat. The simple pshat of the Gemara is that it's a reference to Haman. Okay. Amar Rav Kana. Rav Kana says, "Mikan she'ahed yod kofitz barosh." You see from over here that Mamuchan Haman, who was the seventh mentioned one of the officers, nevertheless, he's the guy that spoke up first. The littlest one spoke up first. And that's the plain person, a hedjot. Literally, hedjot means idiot. The smallest one, kofitz barosh. He jumps forward. And then it says, what did they suggest to do? Lios kolish sorer beveso, that every person should go and make sure he's the man of the house. So that's what they had to do because the women had rebelled against Achashverosh. Vashti had rebelled against Achashverosh, so all the women were rebelling against their husbands, so to make sure that they didn't do this. Again, Rava is the one that darshens this. I'm a Rava. Ilmole igros harishonos lo nishtayim misonein shal Yisrael sorudapalit. Again, the sonein shal Yisrael is a euphemism for Kai, so we don't want to say that they would have been wiped out, Rachmona Litzlan. So it says, if it wasn't for this first gezeira that they sent out, Leos kolish, so wherever they saw, so if it wasn't for that, so then that silly gezeira, nobody listened to it, and therefore they didn't listen to the next gezeira. That's what Rava tells us. What does that mean? Amri, the people said, my high, the Shadir Lon Leos Kolish Sori Abaveso. What is this crazy king telling us that we should be the masters of our house? Of course we are. Pshita, Afilu Karcha. Do they say, even a person who's a bald person, a Karcha, Rashi says it means a weaver, it means a low-lying person, a low-level person. Karcha is a euphemism that we use over here for somebody that is a Loshon Ginai, a low-level person. So Lab Dafka, does it mean a weaver? Rashi is giving that as an example of a low profession. So even a person who's a low life, a relatively low profession, he may be a Karcha, nevertheless, but they say, Pardashcha Lehebi, in his own house, this Karcha is going to be a big person, a pardashka, is an officer in his own house. So therefore, they said, this is crazy. What's he sending out that we should be the masters of our house? So therefore, just like they didn't listen to him now, they didn't listen to him later on. We said, go out and kill the Jews, because the concern would be that they would say, hey, the king's telling us to kill the Jews. Let's go kill him now. Let's not wait till Yud Gimel Adar. And it says, V'yefkeda melech pikidim. Achashverosh sent out his messengers all over the kingdom to go and gather in the most beautiful women in the world to replace Vashti. Amar Rav, Rav says, my disciple, what does the pasuk mean in Mishlei when it tells us over here, kol orum yaseh bidas, that a orum means a wise person. when he does things, he does them with das. And axil, a foolish person, yifros ivelis, he does things with stupidity. So what does that mean? So the pasuk is darshan as follows. Kol orm yasav das, a smart person does things with a little seichel. That's a reference to David HaMelech, said David. David also needed to go and find a young lady that would accompany him. As the pasuk says, d'chsil v'yom lo avadov, David's servants told him he was cold, he couldn't keep himself warm. You should go and seek out Nara Besula, a single woman, and she will go take care of you and keep you warm. So what did he do? Everybody wanted their daughter to be the king's consort. They all wanted their daughter to be with the king because the king was smart. He was going to take only one. He wasn't going to take everybody. So everybody was hoping their daughter would be the one that we chosen. But the fool, Achashverosh, Uchsiel, what did he do? Yifros Ivelis, he did stupidity, he did foolishness. That's a reference to Achashverosh. Achashverosh, Dichsiv, what did he do? Yavkeda Melech Bigidim, he sent out his officers to go around to all the kingdom and bring in all the women. So every father said, hey, my daughter is just going to be assaulted. She's just going to be taken in, and then she's going to be thrown out. He's not looking for one wife. He wants to have a different wife every night, and he's just going to discard them when he's done with them. So, as opposed to by David, everybody who had a daughter wanted their daughter to be the one that David would choose. Here, everybody who had a daughter hid their daughter, itmara minei, so the king wouldn't take her because the king would just use her and throw her away. As opposed to David and Melech would keep her in a position of importance. Then the Megillah continues, and we darshan, and it says, Ishu di oya b'shushan abira, ushmo Mordechai, and then it tells us, Ishimini, he was Ishimini. So, which one was he? The Gemara is going to ask in a moment, was he Yehudi? From Yehuda, or was he Yemini from Binyamin? But first, the Gemara says, my comrade, what is it trying to tell us over here? Eli chuso kasi, if you're trying to tell us, whoa, look who Mordechai comes from, so then why did you stop? You just said, then, Yoyeh ben Shimi ben Kish, Ishimini. You should have gone all the way back to Binyamin. Why did you stop? Ela mai shonahani, why are only these three names mentioned? Some delete the word Ella. In any event, my shana hachi. So why, honey? Why are only these mentioned? So Tana Kulon al Shimon Nikra, because each of them is not the name supposed to say only of a person, but it's to teach us a drasha about Mordechai. Yar, Shimi, and Kish mean something other than the names. He was called Ben Yair. What does Yar mean? Ben Sheheir, a name Shal Yisrael b'tfilaso. He was one who was able to go and make all of Klai Yisrael able to see and daven better because of his tfilos. In other words, Klai Yisrael was saved because of Mordechai's tefillah. That's Ben Yoyer, the one who shone light upon everybody. Ben Shimi, what does that mean? Ben, he was the person, Shoshoma Kel Tefillaso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who listened to his tefillah and responded to it and saved Klai Yisrael. And Ben Kish, what does Kish mean? Shehikish Hashari Rachman, he banged on the doors of Rachman and they opened up for him. So that's what these are descriptive terms of Mordechai, not just a lineage. That's why it only said those three. Now, he's called Yehudi. Kari Le Yehudi. Now, Alma must be, he comes from Shevet Yehuda, Yehuda Kasi. But he's also called the Kari Le Yemini. Now, Alma, what do you see from that? Mi Binyamin Kasi. So which one was he? Was he from Yehuda or was he from Binyamin? So the first teretz that the Gemara gives is Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Nachman, Mordechai Muchtar Binimuso Hoya. He had many, many names. He was crowned. Muchtar means he was crowned with many different names. What exactly does that mean? Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Bishur Ben Levi, it means that Aviv was from Binyamin. His father came from Binyamin, as it says, Ben Yair. So we know his father was Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. So we, through his paternal lineage, he was from Shevet Binyamin. And from his mother's side, Imo, he comes from Shevet Yehuda. That's the teretz that Rabba Bar Bachana gives the name of Bishur Ben Levi. The Rabban and Amre, they say, Mishpachos Mizgaru Zubazu. Everybody was fighting to claim Mordechai for their family. What is that? Mishpachas Yehuda Omeres, the Shevet Yehuda, they said, Ana Gorim Dimisialid Mordechai. We are the cause that Mordechai was born. Why? Because we said, the Lo Kotli David, the Shimi Ben Gera. Because we made sure David HaMelech said to Shimi Ben Gera, Shimi Ben Gera had cursed David HaMelech, and then after David HaMelech came back to become the king, Shimi Ben Gera apologized, but in any event, David didn't kill Shimi Ben Gera. He told Shlomo, you find the way to go kill Shimi Ben Gera. That was last week's Haftorah. Parashas Vayechi, and in any event, David didn't kill him, so Shimi Ben Gera was able to have children, and those children were the eventual forerunners of Mordechai. So Yehuda was saying, well, because we didn't kill Shimi Ben Gera, so that's why Mordechai came about. And Mishpachas Ben Yomim, what did they say? Amra, Minoy Kasi. No, he came from us, therefore we are the progenitors of Mordechai. So each one took credit for Mordechai's being around. The opposite was said by Rava. Rava Amar, no, Knesset Yisrael Amro Le'idach Gisa, the exact opposite. They each, so to say, took the blame for Mordechai coming into being. Because according to this version, Mordechai was the cause, they felt incorrectly, that Mordechai caused Haman to get upset at the Jewish people. And therefore, whoever caused Mordechai to be around, he is the source of all the problems for Klal Yisrael. Because Ru Masol Li Yehudi U'mashilin Lo Yemini. Look at what this Ben Yehuda did, look at what this Mordechai did, and look what this Binyamin did. Masul Yehuda, what does that mean? Masul Yehudi. And we turn to Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the Lo Katle David L'Shimi. If David had killed Shimi, so then Mordechai wouldn't have been born. The Salad Binei Mordechai, the Mikani Be Haman. And Mordechai caused Haman to get angry at the Jewish people because Mordechai didn't bow down to Haman. Lo Karava, Lo Mishtachaveh. Umashilim lo yamini, and what is it that Binyamin did? The lo katle Shaul Agag, that Shaul, who came from Sheva Binyamin, he didn't kill Agag. And as a result of not killing Agag, so then Haman was able to be born. The Salabinei, Haman Hamitzah Yisrael. So according to this version, they were each blaming, so to say, Mordechai or Binyamin, Yehuda or Binyamin, through Mordechai and through Shaul not killing Agag for the tragedy that could have befallen the Jewish people with Haman and Achashverosh. Finally, the work concludes and says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Leolam b'Binyamin Kosi. In fact, Mordechai was a descendant from Shevet Binyamin. No, by my Karla Yehudi, so why was he referred to as Ish Yehudi? So Gemara says, Al Shum Shekofar b'Avodah Zarah. He was not going to bow down to Haman. In other words, he says, I don't bow down to a person. I don't bow down to Avodah Zarah. And it says, Shekola Kofri b'Avodah Zarah, Nikra Yehudi. Anybody that goes and doesn't bow down to Avodah Zarah, he disregards the Avodah Zarah, he's called a Yehudi. As the pasuk says, this is a pasuk that we find in Daniel. Isi Gubrin Yudon, these three great people, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, came, the Gomer, and they wouldn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, the Adarta that we spoke about, and they were thrown into the Kivshon Ha'esh. So therefore, anybody that comes from Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, like they came from Yehuda, and doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, is called Yehudi. And Mordechai didn't bow down to Haman, he's called Ish Yehudi. Such interesting drushes. We go on and on and on. The time has run out. We'll stop today's shiur over here, and we'll continue Mitzvah Shem Dashti more of the Megillah tomorrow. Such a beautiful Gemara. Such an appropriate way to prepare for Purim.